Hello and welcome to Sprovcast, the English language broker bow podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm Dave Stevenson.
Are you? Who on earth is...
Who's Dave Stevenson?
Oh, yes.
I wish I knew who Dave Stevenson was, David.
Yeah.
And I'd like to put out an appeal to our listenership as well. If you are Dave Stevenson and you may have accidentally put $750 into my PayPal account, please get in touch. I've been trying to message you.
This is like a much more profitable Are You Dave Gorman. We only need to find one, but it has to be a specific one.
Yeah. You know the weird thing about it as well? It's like Dave Stevenson and the capital... there's no capital S, it's a small S.
Huh. Is that weird? I don't know.
Well, I mean, usually surnames are spelt with a capital letter.
Mm, yeah. Unless you're E.E. Cummings, where there's no capitals at all.
That's true, yes. Yeah. That's way too highbrow for this podcast.
Anyway, talking of capitals, we were in Prague. Hooray!
Hey, well,
we weren't, the team was. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're also going to talk about the squad and the ongoing ownership farrago. We've got two previews, those of Tabor and Chudim, and we've got Hot or Not, and a very special beer of the podcast coming your way. But yeah, we're going to start with a squad and club update right now. So shall we have a quick reminder of who's come in?
Yes, please.
I think
I can't remember.
I think I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I've also, like Lou Bega, I've also got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Actually, whatever happened to him? Do you remember Lou? There was a guy called Lou Bega.
Yeah, of course, I remember him. Yeah,
Vincent Lou Bega, and he played for something like Rudium or
that. Oh yeah. Like that Lou Bega. Yes.
No, not Lou Bega the singer. Like, I had Lou Bega the footballer. We did a song about him on the podcast.
We did, yeah. I wonder where he is now.
If he's listening, I hope he's well.
Yeah. He could be, like, as I discovered today, I think it's Keith from formerly of Boyzone, now owns a car tyre dealership in Dublin.
Really?
Yeah. Just selling tyres.
Uh-huh.
Having a lovely time.
I'll be honest, I was looking at you there waiting for a punchline.
No, just
that's absolutely real fact.
Just that, yep, just that.
There you go.
Right, so ins, mainly defenders.
Yes.
We have brought back Ludjak Pernica for another sort of bout of masochism, propping up the defence.
Just loves the club, loves the club. Of people that have come back, yes, I'll take him back. He was...
Yeah.
He, in that season, which was one of the worst seasons in fucking living memory, right? He looked like he actually gave a fuck.
Yes.
And that's, I think, counts for something.
Yeah, certainly does. Yeah, we've got him back. And I think eventually he will possibly be paired up with Simon Fallet, the mysteriously, incredibly, apparently good Guinean centre-half.
I was looking into this a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, 18 caps for Guinea.
Yep.
Since 18, and very. I don't know if you've got his clubs listed down there, but you know,
Hanover 96, Eintracht Frankfurt, Fenerbahce, Metz, and another French club who I can't remember. Yeah.
It's one of these ones that I don't really know much about him, but I looked at his, you know, look at his profile, and I'm not sure if he's good or not. You know, like players like that.
He's consistently got numbers though, because he seems to move sort of once every 2 years.
Yeah, plays 30 games and then moves on.
Yeah, so averages 15 games a year for some fairly tasty sides. Yeah, you got to say
he's also valued at 100k euros on transfer market, which makes me feel something's happened. He's got one achievement listed that he won the 2017-2018 DFB Pokal in Germany without playing.
Mm.
He was in the squad.
He was in the squad. He played in the semi-final of the Europa League that Frankfurt won, and was on the bench for the final against Rangers.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So you know he can do it on a very very hot Friday night in Seville.
Yes.
So you know he'll be bang up for the Chudim away game at 10:15 next Saturday.
And can I just point out as well, without spoiling too much later on, I think every single time we've played Chudim away, the weather has been fucking dreadful.
It has.
Looking forward to that.
Yes, we have also brought in defence Foster Jamfi from Esbjerg. Mm-hmm. He's a left-sided centre-half. More often, he's going to be playing as a left-back,
yeah.
which is where he played against Dukla and, unfortunately, got carted off midway through the second half yeah. with what looks like a broken rib. So that could be a while,
yeah,
unfortunately, which is a real blow because he played, I think, every game in the mid-season friendlies. He's very good.
Yeah, yeah. I was full of pumped-up kicks for Foster, the person. Yay. So, So, yeah, we'll remain to be seen. He's from Senegal.
Ghana.
He's from Ghana, yeah. yeah.
And
I'm trying to think of a Foster's Lager joke and something like that, but I can't put in any. So you'll have to just take dated, slightly Indian band references from me.
Can I have one of those really good Ghanaian left-backs I've heard so much about? Clunk. What's the matter? What's the matter, Czech? Oh, it's pretty good, I guess. We also have our first ever Dane.
Yes.
Christopher Jürgensen with a line through his O, as it were.
A line through his O, yes.
Yeah. He is a centre midfielder. He's also 19. Jamfi is 19. This guy is also 19.
Yeah.
From the very oddly capitalised Sonderjyske. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know why that E is capitalised?
I looked this up and I couldn't find an answer, fair enough. Basically. Yeah, that's a straight one, actually, because I think it looks to me like we've got him in on a six, like not like a loan, but he's got a deal, but it's 6 months.
Yeah.
So we're really not hedging our bets here. It's either like if you're shite, you're away. Gamfi's option to buy, I saw that.
Yeah.
As is our other, our fifth signing as well, which is Dominik Svacek from Bilzeň.
Yes, who started in goal, actually, against Dukla.
Oh, did he? I thought it was I thought it was Berkovic. Nope. That's what I saw in the squad.
Nope, Svacek. So, yeah, he's...
put some competition there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's who we brought in. We haven't lost anyone, I don't think, have we? We haven't got rid of anyone?
I don't
think so.
Not anyone that I don't think we mentioned before the end of the year. Of last year, because I think we did a bit of an update on that. We are, however, at threat of losing hundreds and hundreds of supporters.
Yes. Do you want to take this?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
let's maybe be a little bit short on this, because there are, especially if you you speak Czech, if you don't, then there's lots of translation services available. I say lots. There's Google Translate. I don't think anyone uses Babelfish anymore, but... basically, you know, Barton Jek is not selling and he's not answering his phone. This is the owner of the club.
Yeah.
This is not very good news.
Yes. It's been this long kind of dragged out saga about, the people who were coming in to buy the club were going to do it in increments. They were going to do it over a period of 12 months, taking various percentages off Barton Jek until by the end of this year, they would own... if not all, then a controlling stake in the club. 61%, I think, was the number bandied about.
And this is something that has been agreed upon in principle for months now.
And basically, Barton Jek has decided that he is not playing ball anymore. Mainly because... Actually, there's a really nice editorial in eSport today. Mm-hmm. Mikhail Kostyutik, summing it up nicely, describing... Barton Jek as a rocker philosopher because of how he looks and the way he speaks, which is not Trump-esque. That's Barton Jek doing Barton Jek too much of a disservice, but like he slightly soothes corner. Like he tries to make himself sound a lot more intelligent than he is by using a lot of big words I'm not entirely sure he knows the meaning of.
Mm-hmm.
Is
this a bit like Steve Bruce and Stryker using referring to a player as an artisan?
Yes, very possibly. Yeah. Basically, he would like the money from selling, but can't bear the idea of giving up the influence he feels he has.
This was always going to be the problem, because I think if you are that sort of, I don't know, would you call him a narcissist? But I think this is idea that it's that. He can turn this around because it's his club and it's a status thing for him as well.
It absolutely is a status thing. All attempts to deal with him end in failure because he's basically undealable with. Yeah. He doesn't see the damage he's doing, mm-hmm. despite having to take on security guards to attend public events, which you would think probably is just a bit of an ego rub for him. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you know, I'm such a big man, I need security to... No, no, it's because everyone fucking hates you and wants you gone.
Not the guy you're ever really going to see on the bus.
No,
you
know, no.
Hey, are you that guy everyone hates?
Well, yes, I'm Václav Bartoniak. Yeah, basically it's small man syndrome, isn't it? Yeah. He can't bear to let his little plaything go. Anyway, that's where we are with that.
Uh-huh. And there will be knock-on effects in terms of the support because of this, as there looks to now be a sustained campaign by fans and others to make a feeling about the situation heard, let's say.
Yeah, we'll see how that manifests itself on Saturday evening mm-hmm. at home to Tabor, but there are protest marches planned and various other bits and pieces. So, a selection of, I think, 8 ultras groups released a statement that they were going to do nothing illegal and give the police no reason to get involved, which, as Ben said, is something you put out when you're just about to do something yeah. where the police is definitely going to get involved.
Yeah. This is it. Yeah, like the... my not a child abductor t-shirt is raising a lot of questions that I feel my t-shirt already answers.
Exactly. I think it's like when I saw that there was a photo of a house for sale, and it just said for sale, definitely not haunted. So very much giving off those vibes. Anyway, I think that's quite enough of that for the moment. Let's talk about some actual football, shall we?
Yes.
Right, we didn't go to Prague for this one, did we?
No.
Because various other things were happening, budgetary issues for a couple of our regular travellers, and I just couldn't be bothered, basically.
I was unbelievably hungover as...
Oh, that was that morning, yes, wasn't it?
My messages to the group chat will have confirmed where I was just sending messages about 1 o'clock the previous...
It was just consonants.
This made no sense. It's like a countdown nightmare.
that really... Yeah. Really set the bells to wondering, so that was kind of fun. But thanks to the lovely people at Sport Total, I think it was .cz, who are now televising all the FNL games live, and you can watch the entire thing back.
Yes, and which is can I just say it is incredibly annoying to try and use that thing to find specific moments,
isn't it though,
for goals, because I had to watch a lot of this back because I was so hungover on the Saturday that I watched the first half and then promptly fell asleep for 3 hours, so I had to watch everything back.
Yeah, it was 3-3.
It was,
and as first goal scorer Josef Kojeluch mentioned in his post match interview, going full cliches. A thrilling one for the neutrals, but I think thrilling is probably pushing it slightly. There was, as with most games in this league, a distinct lack of quality, but goals there were.
It was an intriguing game, I'll say that much.
Yeah, I've got a kind of a sort of vague summary here.
Yeah, go on.
The opening goal went to Kojeluch, as previously mentioned. It was a neat finish. In the bottom left-hand corner of Dukla's net. It's sort of a bit of a scramble inside the penalty area, but...
It's a good finish because, actually, I was thinking about this. It's a really awkward ball height.
It is, yeah.
Because I watched it a few times, and that was sort of like he's done really well to get his leg up to actually...
Take it on the volley and
put it on target.
Yeah, redirect it really well into... just past the goalkeeper's reach into the bottom corner.
And that lead lasted for how long?
5 minutes. As Pavel Molis...
This will be a theme.
Yeah, Pavel Molis' direct free kick. A really unlucky nick off the player standing at the end of our wall, because Svacek was on his way down and didn't quite have time to adjust to get his hand out.
Mm-hmm.
He was just really scrabbling for it. Yeah, he was unlucky, really, but 1-1 it was. Ali Agic restores our lead, and he is... I mean, after he joined us, he scored... I think in every game except one going into the break, and he's been consistent over the winter break, and he's already scored his first in the second half of the season. He looks like the Resnicek replacement that we
hoped he would be.
Dukla corners claimed by Svacek, who launches upfield. Dennis manages to sort of dink, or just about dink the ball over the onrushing Stjovicek, Man with the most die criticals on his name in this game.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, 4. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, probably, you know, that and the first goal. I mean, you know, possibly pick of the bunch for all the goals, maybe?
First one, I'd say. Yeah. As you said, like, technically tricky. And And we go into the break, actually, 2-1 up.
Yes.
But 10 minutes after the second half begins, they equalise, and it's disappointing in
it's
every
such
kind
a
of way.
Bad goal, man.
It's an unchallenged cross from the left.
Which completely splits the defensive line, isn't it?
Yep.
Like, it just goes in front of everyone.
It is classic corridor of uncertainty right there. And reaches Muris Mešanović. Who still needed 2 bites of the cherry to stab it past Svarček, but that was 2-2.
It's just we're just awful in those sorts of situations.
He's somebody that I'm really surprised hasn't had a crack at the first
bigger
league, because he's a good striker for this level. He puts himself about. He's a pain, frankly, and you know, if you were one of the lower clubs who don't create that much but need a bit of a battering ram up top, you know, he would absolutely be worth taking a punt on, I think. But just after half an hour later, we're back in front. From a corner, the ball's cleared, and there's a low ball back in, deflected into the far corner by Roman Potocny, who I want to see a lot more of this half of the season, because he was fairly anonymous the first half of the year.
Yeah.
Jamfi gets stretchered off, as we say, what looks like it might be a broken or a cracked rib. Fallet coming on to take his place. Clearly a bit short of fitness. We can't hold on, and with 10 to go, Potocny actually has a chance to put the game out of sight. He finds himself in acres of space from a pullback, and he skies the ball over from the D, just gets it all wrong. And
he knows it as well.
Oh,
that's
that's an absolute sink to your knees head clutch job, isn't it? Yeah.
It was quite something to behold, and then obviously predictably.
And then, from that goal kick, in fact, Dukla worked the ball out right, and from another unchallenged cross, Mešanović gets his second.
The ball comes, zero pressure at all. He can place the header wherever he likes.
Yeah.
As well. From what is he, 4 yards from the line or
something like that.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just, And can I just also say that the worst thing about Dukla scoring 3 goals was you had to hear the guy on the tannoy going,
"Goal." It's true, yeah.
Almost as if he's like some sort of Brazilian commentator. Sorry, this is not the pre-Bram song. disappointing. Like, I mean, when you lead in 3 separate occasions, I expect to win the match.
Yeah. You'll take the lead, not once, not twice, but thrice.
But like you say, like in between these sorts of goals, it was just some real poor just play generally.
Poor football, yeah.
I mean, this is a team that's 4th against a team that's what, 2nd? And not for it. I don't know if you've got this written down, David, but let's also have a special shout out, of course, to Dukla Prague manager Petr Rada.
Petr Rada,
who has done the usual thing in Czech football of just being a massive racist.
Yeah, doing a racism. 2 racisms, in fact. Yeah.
Double racism.
Yeah. Should we take them one by one? He called Tomasz Polak a
fat gypsy or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
then wheeled out the N-word for Simon Fallet. Welcome to Czech football, Simon.
Yes, and obviously this is Czech football. So I believe, actually, the club did tell this immediately to the referee.
He also was nowhere to be seen in the post-match presser. They sent the assistant instead.
Yep.
Jiří Wagner took questions for Dukla.
Yep, and nothing will be done at all because it is Czech football. And regardless of whether or not it's something is done, you will sadly have a lot of Czech football fans who will trot out the usual, you've no proof, you've no proof, and just defend someone to the hilt.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, if you are one of these people, fuck off.
Yes, succinct. Let's have a look at... Well, I've got Tabor preview next up, if you feel like doing that.
Well, that's really convenient, David, because I happen to write a preview for Tabor.
That's lucky. Let's do that.
Hooray! Hooray! It's our first league game of 2024.
Hooray! First home league game.
Yeah. Oh, did I not say home?
No. Because I thought you were going to rhyme hooray with away. And I thought, where's he going with this? He just didn't mention home at all.
No.
Okay.
Hooray. I'm not from Rome. It's Verovka Brno. Playing at Kralovo Pole this weekend.
Yes.
So,
What a link.
Yeah.
Saturday
at 6 p.m. Bracket, please come in black.
Yes. With no scarves or flags.
Yes. So, that's going to be a real carnival atmosphere and feast of football. A Tabor side that's continuing to defy expectation in terms of performance.
By being good.
Yes.
Yeah.
For those, who don't know maybe too much about Taborsko, they're a small, not very well-supported club, and they can usually be found sort of around about the 7th, 10th places.
And absolutely rolled us over at the start of the year.
Oh, we'll get onto that, yeah. they are just a team that will, if they finish 9th, or you're not surprised.
Yeah.
They will every so often be troubled as well by the trapdoor. They got relegated in the season of 2019-20, I believe. And then they went straight back up. And then, again, have just finished, sort of 7th, 8th and so on. So our match in the summer. So, Tabor beat us 2-1 after taking the lead early and then scoring about 4 minutes after our equaliser.
Classic.
So that was good. And we, if memory serves, we didn't really deserve to equalise anyway. No. They were just a far better team than us. They have been a team that we've had our struggles with in the past as well. If I think we scraped a draw at the opening game of a season with them once.
Last time we were down, we were there away for the first game of the season. Mm-hmm. Really, really hot day and a really bad game of football.
Yes, but a very good pint, if I recall.
Lovely
you saying.
Pint.
Yeah. So this is now, bizarrely, quite a finely poised third versus fourth encounter, which is not really something you want to be saying, considering that we have a huge resource advantage in our favour. So Tabor started back up with a goalless draw at home to Hrudim. Now, I didn't watch that one on Sport Total, but I can comfortably assume it was one of the dullest matches of the past 18 months in Czech football. What is actually maybe interesting, well, it depends if you find this stuff interesting, I suppose. I'm a nerd. Is they played a number of friendlies against teams in this division during the break. So they played Vlašin, they played Sparta B, they played Příbram. They only beat Příbram. So, there's only so much you can read into these sorts of things.
I'm going to say that's also probably for cost purposes. All of those places within about an hour's drive of them.
That is true, yeah. And then actually to back that up, all the other matches that took place were against sort of Czech FL or lower opposition. Yeah. So again, Bohemia facing. In terms of new faces, there's a couple of interesting signings, perhaps. So you've got Pavel Osmančík, who's on loan from Česká Budějovice, on loan until the end of the season. He's a Bohemka youth player formerly, never really broken into the top flight. But if you do remember his name, it's because he has had loans in the past few years with Žižkov, Varnsdorf, and Příbram. And he did very well last season with Příbram. Like, he scored 11 goals. Which is pretty good for that sort of team. Příbram are a team that don't really score. So that's definitely stood out. And I believe someone who we actually previewed on this, previously.
Yeah, Osmančík, was it?
Osmančík, yeah.
Yeah, asking people to look upon his work, ye mortals in despair.
Oh, you'll have to explain that one to me.
I am Ozymandias, King of Kings.
Oh, okay, because I thought you were going to call him something like Richard Osmančík, and then...
I was not, no. I was going far more highbrow.
How long have we been doing this podcast? I told you before, don't be clever. So I think he's a potentially good signing on loan. So it's interesting they have that sort of winger, striker sort of option. I don't think that 20 goals in 17 matches is necessarily poor for Tabor, but there are only four teams that have scored less than them this season. and yet they're in that position. They've taken a punt on a guy called Ngoza Sunzu from Teplice B. Normally, I wouldn't feature someone that they've just brought in from some B team, but he's the proud owner of 323 caps for Zambia.
Yes.
And I know nothing else about him besides that he's allegedly a central or defensive midfielder, and he actually played last weekend as a centre-back.
Okay.
That's all I know. So Ngoza Sunzu, let's look out for him.
Good for him.
You'll have heard this all before, especially if you were listening to the preview about this. Over the summer when we played Tabor. But another word of warning on Bojan Djordjic.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a decent winger. He's coming. He's going to be fresh because one thing that we didn't mention in the Dukla recap was that we didn't have Kubacznicek because he was on a yellow card suspension. Djordjic is also on a yellow card suspension, so he's coming back in fresh. He's got loads of experience at this level. And also, Tabor have also kept a hold of Jakub Shashinka, former Banik Karvina player.
Yeah.
I would expect him to get minutes, though he is not really having that much of an impressive season. I think he's scored maybe a couple of goals and, you know, one or two assists. So really nothing that a player really in that sort of role that he plays almost like that sort of number 10 is really going to be, you know, that happy with.
Right.
What would you like to see from this game, from Zbrojovka, David?
I would like to see Rzeszniczyk back, obviously. That would be nice. I would actually like them to try what they did in the second half of the game against Sigma B, which is have Ali Agic and Rzeszniczyk on the pitch together. They went from a 4-5-1 to a 4-4-2 second half.
Yeah.
And I think that as a home tactic, as a more attacking home tactic, Folsom Potocny central it was, Cronus and Hellebrandt wide, and actually Grenechny replaced Hellebrandt, I think, for the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And the back four of Kozielusz, Pernica, Endel, and, not Jamfi, obviously. So maybe Grenechny left back.
Yes.
And then, actually, what all these defenders coming in has done, it means that it's pushing Shural down the pecking order.
Yeah,
which is something I'm very happy about. Which means we can get time before he maybe leaves. Who knows? I don't know. It means we've got time to play a quiz. Would you like to play a quiz?
I can't believe I just handed you a link on a plate there. Yes, David, what's the name of the quiz?
Let's play Urban or Rural with Jakub Shural.
Hey, I'm walking here!
Shural?
Yeah, whatever.
Let me just take back off you that massive crowbar. I'm just going to be quiet.
Okay. As we know, our long-serving centre-half is... I haven't even written an intro to this. I've totally forgotten. Anyway, would you like to play a very, very limping, slowly dying quiz format?
Yes.
Good, right. Okay, five questions on Urban or Rural with Jakub Shural. Scotland's largest city is Glasgow.
It is.
While Scotland's largest county is Inverness-shire, which covers much of the Highlands and the Outer Hebrides. Which has more people?
Inverness-shire is surely not an actual county. It's part of the Highlands and Islands Council.
I think it's part of one of 30...
Ceremonial? Because it's like Ross-shire, for example.
Maybe.
So what's larger?
Which has more people? So basically,
Glasgow or Inverness-shire?
Yeah, so that's like most of the Highlands, Outer Hebrides.
Yes.
It's like a swathe across.
It's absolutely Glasgow because there's only 50,000 people in Inverness.
It is. It's not even close. Mm. Glasgow has 10 times the population, 635,000 to 67,700 across that entire region. Okay.
I didn't get a Scotland one wrong. We're okay now.
Two, which idiom dating from the mid-1800s and the California Gold Rush and still used today meant showing you had a right to a certain piece of unused land by physically marking out the boundaries?
Ooh. Is this just marking your territory?
No.
As in,
it's a similar
when cats piss around, you know, no, to show that it's their sofa.
But that's what you're doing, but in a different way.
I don't think I'm going to get that, or it'll be very obvious, but I can't think about it. Stake your claim?
Bang on.
Okay, nice.
Yes. Yeah, you were allowed to take like wooden stakes and string,
yes,
and like mark out your
prospect, because it's a, yeah, claim is a piece of, yes, like a riverbed bit or stretch or,
yeah,
something.
Exactly,
yeah,
where you think gold is, and, yeah, and you get that bit to play with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. All right, number three. When defined by all metrics when it comes to size, namely city proper, metropolitan area, and urban area, and size and population, mm-hmm, of all three, which city is the largest in the world?
Oh, no. Right. My immediate thought was Tokyo. So there's Tokyo, there's New Delhi, there's Mumbai, were the ones that were springing out to me. Jakarta, maybe? There's Beijing and Shanghai, of course. Beijing. Ooh, could it be Beijing? I think we're going to go, David, with the tried and tested method of, I will say, I think it's two cities. I will go for the one, and that will be the incorrect one, because this, right, is, I think, consistent. I think it's Tokyo or Beijing, and I am going to say it is Tokyo.
Right.
Oh, let's, yes, go. Come on.
Go with your gut. Your first instinct was, yeah, spot on there.
That's, the problem was I went with my gut last Friday, and that's why I spent most of my Saturday in bed.
All right, number four. What are the national flowers of England, Scotland, Wales, and Ireland? And, if you fancy, the national tree of the Czech Republic, because it doesn't have a national flower.
Ooh. Well, okay. So, I mean
flower stroke plants.
Yes, all right. So, I mean, well, we can tick off the other ones, right? So, England, I would assume, is a rose.
Yep.
Then you would go for a daffodil for Wales.
Yep.
Scotland is a thistle.
Yeah.
What else did you say? Northern Ireland, did you say?
Ireland.
Oh, Ireland. Oh, yeah, well, does a shamrock count as a flower?
Yeah, clover.
Clover, yeah.
Or, weirdly, flax.
Flax, really? Yeah. And I have no idea what the national tree is, so I'm going to have a punt.
Okay.
And I was going with elm or beech. fuck it, I'm just going to say elm.
It is the linden tree.
Sure. Good on you.
Yeah. As in Unter den Linden in Berlin, the big long shopping,
oh,
street,
yes,
under
makes,
the linden trees.
That makes sense.
Things,
yeah,
down the middle. Yeah. Uh-huh. And finally, I'm going to give you five second largest cities, and you have to give me the country in which you would find,
oh,
these,
nice,
second,
all,
cities.
Right, yeah. I'm having a lot of fun now because I've got more correct than incorrect,
yeah,
in this quiz. So it might be a rare win for your boy here.
Yeah. All right. Banja Luka.
Banja Luka is a second largest. Which one is it? Is it Bosnia, yeah, or Serbia?
There you go.
Is it Bosnia or Serbia? It's in Bosnia.
It is. Novi Sad is,
yeah,
Serbia's,
there you go,
city. Cordoba.
Cordoba. Is that Colombia?
Nope.
No, am I really wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
How do you Cordoba?
Yeah.
Cordoba. I know that from somewhere.
Well, there's a city in Spain called Cordoba, but it's obviously not,
yeah,
Spanish,
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. Pass.
Argentina.
Oh, yeah, fucking no chance. Oh, it's got the continent.
Yeah, well, yeah, well done.
Barely.
Birkirkara.
Oh, that is in Malta.
It is.
Because they beat Hearts a few,
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, I thought you might know that.
Very funny.
From that, yeah. Sfax.
Sfax.
Yes.
Ah. So, listen, I work as a recruiter, and I get CVs from all sorts of places. And I'm sure I've had a CV from Sfax. I've got three options again.
You've had one by Sfax.
Yeah, yeah. Is it Tunisia?
It is Tunisia.
Yeah,
very good. And finally, Medellin.
Okay. Yeah. That is Colombia.
That is Colombia.
There you go. Right.
Yeah.
Great. I, you know what? Actually, for one of your quizzes, David, I actually enjoyed that one.
For one of my quizzes. Thank you very much. Right, let's have, you fancy a beer of the podcast? We have a very, very nice posh one that we've been saving for a couple of months.
We have. I think it's about time.
Good.
Beer from the podcast.
Nicely done there. Yeah. Beer from the podcast it is.
Yes, because we are going outside of not, the Czech Republic.
Yeah, not somebody who used to play centre-half for Peck Zwolle.
Oh, look at it. You go for one, you go for one match in the Netherlands and now you're... Yeah.
That's also who we signed Gustavo Hamer from. So,
aware of their work. We being Coventry City,
He, by the way, he looks the unhappiest man in the world at the moment.
So I'd be if I had to live in Lancashire.
For Sheffield United.
Oh, Sheffield. Yeah, I don't know why. Yes, I don't know why I am. I don't know why I confused him for a Burnley player there. Maybe because they're both shit.
Yeah. Anyway, we are, as you say, going out of the country for this one. This was bought for us a couple of months ago now. It's been sitting on my sort of cabinet in the kitchen for a while by a friend of the podcast, Sander Bolt.
Hey, Sander.
Who listens to us despite knowing nothing about football and caring possibly less.
Yeah.
But likes having us wittering on in the background as if he doesn't have us wittering on enough in real life.
And a fierce advocate for beer.
Indeed, yes, exactly.
You can follow his Beers and
At
Me.
Beers and Me on Instagram, yeah. So he bought us this back from wherever he was. I think he was in the Netherlands, but this is a Belgian beer. As you said, it's a Trappist one, and it's called Westfalteren. Forgive my pronunciation, but it is it comes in a bottle without a label. They're only identified by the information on the cap, and the website, the ratebeer.com website, says here Westfalteren has the smallest output of all the Trappist breweries, with only a small part of their production available outside of Belgium. So in a Yeah, the smallest part of a small number of breweries. So this is a real rarity, this.
Yeah, do you know about how you can get your hands on this often?
I don't.
So what you have to do is you have to actually register in advance with the monastery.
Wow.
And you're allowed, I believe, a maximum of like 2 cases, you know, and they do this, I think, you know, they release it every month or 2 months or whatever. And I saw some footage of this on YouTube because I was interested. You will have cars just queuing up outside the monastery for this time. And it is just like a monk checking your car registration, checking that you're on the list. And then giving you your two crates of beer.
Yeah.
So when you find it outside of that, as in like commercially, for example, it is actually quite rare.
Yes. So yeah. So thank you very much to Sander for making the effort to get this and bring it all the way back, and you know, me for having it on the side, not being tempted to drink it for 3 months.
Yeah, that's that's a big one actually.
Anyway. Yes, shall we sort of dive in?
What's the if it's a Trappist, it's got to have a decent amount of ABV behind it, I would assume.
Yeah, I don't actually know what it is.
It's not exactly black, but it's like this sort of almost like mahogany.
Yeah, color. It's very, very, very dark, and there's a tiny amount of sort of sediment floating to the bottom
just
there,
holding up to the light. Yeah,
it smells.
Oh, that's very heady.
Yeah, there's a sort of weird freshness on the top of it.
Yeah, and then it
I can't quite identify what it is.
And then it does go into that sort of not chocolatey, but like
there's a slight chocolatiness to it, but not
sweetness. Some sort of cherry thing going on, maybe.
Anyway, should we give it a go? There's a lot going on there.
Wow. Oh wow. It also should be pointed out that, like, some people actually consider this to be one of the best beers in the world.
Yeah. It's not really like anything I've had before. It's very odd, isn't it? There's such a mix of flavours. Initially, you get such a mix of things that it doesn't really taste like one thing you can put your finger on.
Yeah. Because it's also quite sweet. They just fade, and then you almost get this, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but you almost get this sort of varnish thing coming through or something. Like,
yeah, there's a sort of a Yeah, a sort of smooth acidity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're like kind of inhaling, like if you're like inhaling paint stripper fumes, but from a long way away.
Yeah,
you sort of get it towards the back of your throat, but not. Mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't really say what it was. Yeah. It's just a sort of smooth acidity.
Yeah, it's kind of this intoxicating sort of thing. I mean, certainly, like, I think it's one of these beers that if you gave it blind and you said, where's this beer from, you would probably say Belgium. It's, you know, or sort of surrounding, because it's definitely not one that you would have filled up in a pint glass, is it? It's one that you'll sort of have in one of these glasses and swirl around.
When I swallow it, there's a kick that goes from the kind of front of your throat up through your sinuses. There's a bit of, like, it sort of comes into the back of your nose, like, from your throat.
And then this is where I think
there's
a sort of a
tickliness to it.
And then I think you do get something at the back then that's a bit like, not entirely unlike, and again, I mean this in a really quite good way, like cherry cola, almost.
We're going full beer suits corner on this one, aren't we?
I mean, I know nothing about beer, I just drink it, you know, and enjoy it. But, like, it's one of these ones where it does deserve a little bit of analysis.
Yeah.
If you have had this beer, like, genuinely, please message us, because I would like to know what your thoughts are on this, and if you could do a more justice to a review than we are doing at the moment.
Yeah, I can't get over the smell. It smells so watery compared to the number of flavours that you get hit with.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Anyway, there we go.
Dimensional.
Yes.
We are hoping for a team that becomes dimensional.
Are we going to get that? Versus, is that our next bit of the thing? I can't remember. Where's my running order? Are we going to get that? Versus hot or not?
good.
Yes.
Good.
Right, let's have that up next. It's time for hot or not. I've got one each.
I've got one each as well.
Good-o. I'm going to begin very, very quickly with a hot, which is Ellis Sims' perfect hat-trick.
Oh, did Ellis Sims have got a perfect hat-trick?
Not only that, a German perfect hat-trick. Yeah.
Okay, this is good. Oh, yes. So this is, if I remember, this is from the Cup. This was
against Rotherham last night.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought this was Ellis Sims, because he scored, I think, also against Maidstone.
Yep, Maidstone and stinking bottom Rotherham. He's found his level, bless him.
5-0, I believe it was in the end.
Like, he has come into his own. He got a lot of stick at the start of the season because he just wasn't up to speed. And also, he seems like a really nice lad, but he's a real introvert. Like, he doesn't like the spotlight. He clearly needs to be comfortable in a... like, in a situation before he can sort of thrive in it. But yeah, what is a German hat-trick? What also adds to it for the Germans to count as a perfect hat-trick?
I might be wrong, but a perfect hat-trick, I believe, is one with the...
Oh, actually, he's missing one element to make it a perfect German hat-trick.
Because I was going to say that, I mean, a perfect hat-trick is it's not left, right, and head.
It is left, right, and head.
And then I thought a German hat-trick then meant that you had to do it all in the same half.
Which he did, in the first half. But there's one element of the perfect German hat-trick that he's missing, which I had forgotten about until this point.
I think I've forgotten about it as well.
There should be no other goals in between.
Oh, yeah, come on.
And we went 1-0 up, and then... oh, he's everywhere. Joel Latabodier scored the second.
Wouldn't want to be a fucking Coventry
fan. Yeah, you would. He's for Aberdeen, mate.
Let me tell you. All my strength to not make Aberdeen Football Club a hot for the 10th time.
Anyway, so, yeah, that. And also, as a quick aside, the championship in general, still mad, mainly because from 16th to 23rd, there's 2 points in it for the relegation scrap, which is not, like Rotherham are done.
Yes.
I mean, they are done and dusted.
Yeah.
Also, a quick hot for Aberdeen making the Guardian's knowledge page.
Oh, God, what have we done?
For becoming the team with the longest gap between taking the lead and then losing a game.
Yes, this was this weekend.
Yeah, where 95 minutes. Or, well, 97 to lose it.
Yeah, we scored in the first minute.
Yeah.
And then we gave away a penalty in the 95th, I think. And then, And look, let me tell you, if anything sums up Aberdeen this season, it was that match.
Good. Right.
Shout out Kenny.
What do you got?
I'm going to go with the Marshall Islands football team, David.
Okay.
So, the Marshall Islands, obviously very small.
Yes.
60,000 people have never had a proper football team, like as a national football team. Mm-hmm. So, what they are doing is that they are applying to be members of OFC and FIFA.
Okay.
And they will have their first ever, I believe their first ever game this summer against, and I've forgotten already what the team is, Micronesia.
Micronesia, okay.
I think it's Micronesia. And I was...
The Confederated States of.
Yes. And I was lucky enough to get my hands on the Marshall Islands' first ever football kit.
Incredible.
And I forgot to wear it today for this. And what they did was they had a competition to design it. You can still buy the Marshall Islands football kit. You can get it on their official website. And it is, well, it's this, basically. Orange and blue.
You can't see it, obviously, listener, but Google it.
Yeah, we put something up. And it was designed by a guy actually in Argentina. And the idea is it's supposed to also reflect things like the climate crisis. Because it's about rising tides which affect the Marshall Islands.
Sure.
And the kit itself is made out of recycled plastic.
Nice. Good.
So so actually, shout out to Big Al, Mr. Alistair Beaton, my father, for acquiring this kit for me. It was very kind of him. And I was wearing it the other night, and it's absolutely class. It's a class
Brilliant.
Kit.
Brilliant. Excellent.
So yeah, shout out the Marshall Islands.
Cool. I've got a knot.
Go on.
And it's Lazio doing Lazio things.
Oh, dear.
Did you see this?
I have not seen Lazio doing
Who
anything recently.
Were they playing last night in the Champions League?
Was it the Weimar Republic?
No, but you're close.
I don't know who they're playing. I'd pay very little
attention.
Lost
3-0. Kane scored twice.
Oh, so that would be Bayern Munich.
Yes.
Munich and Bavaria, of course, the home of National Socialism.
Exactly. So around 100 Lazio fans went to the Hofbräu House in Munich purely for a bit of fascist chanting, lauding Hitler and Sieg Heiling, amongst a load of just regular German punters having a nice afternoon out.
Was that where the beer hall putsch was?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, I absolutely hate Nazis, but like that commitment to the bit... Fuck me, man. Honestly. They're just like the most brain-dead losers as well, Lazio fans, aren't they? Like,
Actually, Joe and I went to the Hofbräu House when we were in Munich.
Did you also start chanting National Socialist slogans?
We certainly did not. We sat in the garden and drank large glasses of Hofbräu and ate giant pretzels, and the garden is beautiful. It's one of the nicest spots in Munich. It really is.
So you did what you're supposed to do in Munich, which is go there, drink beer, and have a nice time.
There is some awful footage online of like some brain dead artist is like filming it, lols, and you can just see all of these like clearly like just like Munich locals just utterly just not knowing what to do or where to look. It's absolutely awful. Mm. Yeah, so that is a very big knot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a very big knot.
What do you got?
Mine feels...
Pales into insignificance.
Whimsical now, David. Mine is having a season ticket at Bramall Lane. They're now minus 50 in the grid.
Right.
You'll have seen the stat as well, but of this year, Sheffield United aren't even the biggest goal scorers at Bramall Lane. They are fourth.
Yes. Arsenal, Villa, Newcastle?
Arsenal, Villa and Brighton.
Oh yeah, 4-2 it was Brighton,
5-0.
No, it's 4-2 Brighton, 5-0 Arsenal, and I think 5-0 Villa.
Yeah, oh that'll be it. Yeah, I'm getting my things confused because yeah, Sheffield United have scored twice at home.
Yes.
In 2024.
And they're making Gus Hamer unhappy. Come home, Gus, we miss you.
I mean, I don't know. At what point do you stop going? You know?
Yeah.
Because it's like the team looks just...
Why would they come just to boo us?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, maybe the surprising thing, right, is that actually, you know, this or Burnley, the worst things happened to us. Well, it's funny for Burnley because everyone thought they would finish mid-table. The ones that are, you know, that I would have quite a lot of respect for is actually Luton, because the whole, I think, the difference between like a Sheffield United and Luton is that everyone involved in Luton Town was like, right, we're going up and it's just going to be a laugh.
Yeah.
And everyone there was like, you know what, we're going to get pummeled every game, don't give a fuck, Premier League, whatever. But what actually is happening
they
is that
they haven't been pummeled every
they're
game.
They're giving people games. They've been giving people games and winning every so often. You know, I still think they'll go down, you know, this is all good fun. When a sort of Sheffield United look out there and they look absolutely terrified, and then they usually concede in the first 5 minutes, and that sort of sets the pace. And then what you get on Match of the Day is then you know, there's three go in, you go out of the room for a cup of tea or whatever, and then you come back for the second half, and then you see that stand that's half empty now, and it's like, this must be just a routine thing, going to see Sheffield United for 40 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Terrible.
I mean, the other teams would just worked out they should turn up with a big bag of sandwiches, Chris Wilder shits himself, and they, you know, done and dusted, I suppose. Right. That's that. Do we want to do our last preview? And that is Hoodie.
Yes. I can do that. Yeah, I wrote it. All right. Give me a C.
See.
East Bohemia's landlocked. 10:15 on a Saturday. It must be the FNL, baby. I believe we've played all our away games against Chrudim at 10:15.
Yes.
So to East Bohemia.
They have no floodlights.
That is true. I believe we're also maybe going to take your car out for a spin.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, you said last time we'd always played them in shite weather, so that might put the kibosh on it, but we'll see. Because if I drive it in bad weather, I get wet because the front quarter lights don't close properly.
Good, that's always something I look out for
you know,
in transport.
Yes.
Chrudim, I don't know about you, but I always just think they're a dull team.
They are a dull team.
They came up about 5-6 years ago and have just been like, all right. They're currently eighth.
They play opposite a cemetery, of course.
They do, yes.
Says a lot about it, really. Yeah,
they have that one nice, sort of weird, sort of modern stand, and then the rest of the ground is just, like, rubbish.
What's brilliant is I like that they put the tiny ultra section of about 20 people on, like, a tiny piece of scaffolding over the other side.
Yes.
But not even on the halfway line, like, at one end on the other side.
Uncovered, yeah. It's, like, it's mad. So they're eighth at the moment. They finished eighth last season, and they've actually finished 10th the previous three seasons. So
what a journey.
Yes. Our home fixture all the way back in August was a 4-1 defeat of Chrudim with Jakub Hreznicek hat-trick. They didn't lay a glove on us, and this was the one that we missed because we were at Teresa and Yaya's wedding.
That's right.
So, yeah, possibly, I believe in the words of... friend of the podcast, Ben, that this was our best performance.
Mm-hmm.
We missed that. Chrudim have been preparing for this start with the Tipsport Liga and got a very credible 2-1 victory against Mladá Boleslav.
Good for them.
So, yes. On the other hand, they have lost a friendly at the start of February to Pardubice B.
Mm.
So... that maybe upset them. So then Bohemka B came to play, and then they beat them 9-2.
Wow.
So stuck 9 past at a B team, but you lost to Pardubice B. When I think of Chrudim, I think mostly of 0-0 draws. And indeed, they did draw 0-0 with Tabor, who we're playing next.
Indeed.
But they are the third biggest scorers in the division, which is more than us. And a lot of this is to do with David Hoof. David Hoof, who is joint top scorer in the division alongside Kuba Hreznicek.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that was a 6-month loan, and David Hoof has been hoofed out of the club. He has joined Bohemians until the end of the season with an option to buy.
Oh, good for him.
To be fair, that is probably his level.
Do we know where he was on loan from?
He was on loan from Pardubice.
Pardubice, yeah.
Yes. So they obviously don't fancy him if they've taken him. If they've taken him out on a loan, he's done very, very well.
Yeah.
The loan is finished, and then he's just gone to loan with an option to buy for Bohemians.
To somewhere that is sort of quite a close league competitor to them,
yes.
Which is an odd move, but there you go.
So there you go. I don't know. But that's going to be interesting, right? I mean, maybe not in such a grand way, but that's a season-defining moment for a team.
Just really hates horses, loves kangaroos.
Crazy horses.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. I got it. Yeah.
So yeah, let's say, right, season defining stuff, because really, clubs of the size of Hrugin, and to an extent, clubs that are bigger, like will rely on loan players at this level.
Yeah.
So like when Jan Sielny left Leashen, for example, that their title challenge.
Absolutely banjacked them, didn't it? Yeah.
Petered out completely. So so obviously the attention is going to be, how do you replace a player like him? The answer is, not sure. They've taken in another loanee, Lukasz Maszek. He's 19 and he is Mladá Boleslav contracted. He has scored quite a bit for their B team in the third tier, and he's taken up this sort of second striker winger role. He is very young. But also, I've seen a lot of players come up from FL or MSFL,
yeah.
And they've actually found the step up just a bit too much.
Yeah, it feels like a punt on someone so young to replace someone who was like the man in the first half of the season.
Absolutely. And the, so I don't know what they're going to do, because the other players they haven't brought in don't really occupy such a role, but they are interesting as
okay.
well. So I would like to give a welcome back to Benjamin Cholic.
Right, yes.
He returns after a very brief spell with Tuzla City. You may remember him from such teams as Karvina and Ceska Budějovice, where he was last year.
I remember his name. I don't remember him necessarily.
He's been around for a while now, but he has got, okay, the Bosnian League's not amazing, but he has got credentials. So he is a 5-time Bosnian champion, both with Zelezny Char and Zrinjski Mostar.
Yeah.
He's decent. He's getting on a bit, I think, but like, he has played top flight football here and not looked out of place. So I think that is an absolutely banging signing.
Good
for
lad
them.
To have around the place.
Yeah. Contracted player, not a loanee as well. So I think for a team like, so what I'm seeing here is obviously he's found a way to get back in and get back over, and then he'll try and work his way back up the chain again. So I think that's a really good signing. They've also got a centre back from Serbia, Stefan Vilotic, and he is 24, but he has experience with Příbram, Bohemians and Vlašim. So they're going for people that they know.
Hashtag knows the country.
Yes.
And league. And league with Vlašim,
And he was on a wee bit of a sojourn as well, so he's just returned after a half season of Hapoel Acre in Israel. Israel, I'm told, not a great place to be around at the moment, so maybe that's why you come back. Do you know anything about the Universidad Central de Venezuela CF?
I assume they were originally a university team from Venezuela.
They are.
CF.
And they're in the top flight of Venezuelan football.
Good.
So welcome, Luis Ruiz, to Czech football.
Hey.
He's a 26-year-old defensive midfielder. I couldn't find really anything about him, but there you go. That's fun.
Yeah.
Now, if I...
have a random South American in this league.
Sometimes it works as well. I forget his name off the back of my off the top of my head now, but your boy at... Zizkov.
I was just thinking about him because he was a Lewis somebody
he
as
was
well,
as
I
well
think.
He was good,
yeah,
so
he was good.
I think he's still with them. A couple of other just minor points of interest. We will of course be playing against Kuba Rezniček's half brother, who still plays for Hrugin. I think it's Daniel.
Okay.
And also we will be seeing other friend of the podcast and former 3-season goalkeeper Jiří Floder, who is still
still
thriving at Hrugin.
Still number one, number 59.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see, on a personal level, it's great to see him do well. on a not so personal level, I hope we stick five past him.
Yes, very good.
But I think really, we're talking about the first couple of games in the league. Maybe too early to think about what we'll be like against Fujim away. We're going to have to really take a close look on Saturday and see what's going to happen with our home game.
Yes, against Tabor, with whom we might have somebody over from the UK who has been messaging on Facebook and said he fancies coming over. And boy, has he, if he does, boy, has he picked a
doozy.
Yeah, a weird odd atmosphere game to come to if things pan out as we assume they will.
People choose bad times to come see us. It's like Colm of the excellent Bohemians GB account coming over to see us at the tail end of last season against Sigma B, and that game being a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. But there again, if you are coming over to see Sprojovka, it's pretty much always a bad time.
Keep your money in your pocket and just go to the pub.
It's pretty much always a bad time.
No, if you would like to come, please let us know. We'll be happy to have a couple of beers and host you, unless you were in a certain beer hall in Munich and supporter of SS Lazio. The clue's in the name.
Yeah. Anyway, that will be us, I think. I'm going to see if I can play us out on a vaguely Bartoniek-Ven themed outro piece of music. So we will speak to you in a couple of weeks. Listener, thank you very much for tuning in. Get in touch with us at Zbrojovcast on the social medias. And that'll be it for us this time out.
Bye.
Ja czekam dal. Ja czekam dal. Ja czekam dal. On slíbil mi kostým na míru, když se půjdu projít s ním. A měl kromě cenných papírů ještě astma, pokud vím. Však čas ho bez tak k ledu někam dal, prostě já čekám dál. Měl prsten s pravým démantem, ten, co pak si mě chtěl brát. Byl možná slušným amantem a přesto hlupák na kvadrát. Však čas ho bez tak k ledu někam dal, prostě já čekám dál, já čekám dál. Ja čekám dál, ja čekám dál. Když jen čekám, šťastná jsem, vím, že přijde jedenkrát. Ten, kdo byl by jak já, chuďasem a přesto v skutku měl mě rád. A kdo by druhým ve všem pleka dal, na toho čekám dál. A kdo by druhým ve všem pleka dal, na toho čekám dál. I když jen čekám, šťastná jsem, vím, že přijde jedenkrát. Ten, kdo byl by jak já, chuťa jsem a přesto v skutku měl mě rád. A kdo by druhým ve všem pleka dal, na toho čekám dál. Na toho čekám dál. Na toho čekám dál. Na toho čekám dál.